Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Well, hello, Facebook, and welcome to Oikos Ministries presentation of Facebook Live. We're glad you come out every Wednesday and visit with us. A lot of people are tuning in to this program and this broadcasting, and we rebroadcast this if you're not aware of it. You could always go to our website at www.housechurchesusa.com and peruse through that site. You can hear anything we've ever taught on, and there's lots of good resources and helps on there that would help you in your walk with Jesus. And but tonight we've been going through a book called The Doctrines of Christ. I wrote that back in 2010. I think I've been telling everybody it's 2012, but I was so wrong. 2010. I forget this kind of stuff. But anyway, we've been going through that book, and right now we're on the subject called The Baptism in the Holy Spirit, and taking our time going through it. We've got several discussions we've had on it so far. We've dealt with the promise of the Father from the Old Covenant in the Old Testament. And then we've gone into the person of the Holy Spirit. And so in doing so, we're teaching, I think, something that was omitted so much of the teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit is who the person of the Holy Spirit is. And we've been going through that for the last couple of weeks, and I think we've been catching up really well on that. And so tonight, we're getting down to really what, whenever the baptism of the Spirit's been spoken of before, people just jump right to the idea of speaking in tongues. And we're going to deal with that subject tonight. I hope we can clear up some issues concerning it, this wonderful gift of tongues. You know, when I came into the Christianity in 1981, after living a pretty wild life, I was wonderfully saved. My sins were forgiven. I was born again. I was a new creature in Christ. The charismatic movement was in full swing, and literally just about anywhere you went, you heard people talking about Jesus. It was a wonderful time to be Christian. I tell you, it was an exciting time. It was all new to me, but everywhere you went in Baton Rouge area and our surrounding areas, somebody was talking about Jesus. Well, there were lots of zealous folks, and they were talking about this thing called the Holy Spirit, this baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I knew nothing of such a thing. I'd never heard such talk, although the zeal of those who were speaking about it did intrigue me. And many of the folks who claimed this gift were very appealing. I was like, my goodness, they seem to have a fire for Jesus. And I just wanted all I could get from Jesus. I really did. And so I could see this subject when I'd read the Bible. I would see it. And so I was very open to, I wanted everything God had for us. And so I began to seek that baptism, and I'll just leave that alone for now. But I was wonderfully baptized. Actually, God woke me up out of a deep sleep one night, and I'd been seeking for quite some time. And the Lord just woke me up out of a deep sleep, and I was speaking in another language, and I've been able to speak in tongues ever since. It's just a tremendous gift, but I think we shouldn't leave it as something that's, some people might want this. We need to really push the issue about this, that I think this wonderful gift is for everyone who would have it. And we can certainly clear that up as we go through it tonight. And so let me just a little bit more on the history. While we were dealing with this, the charismatic church, like I said, was going on full swing. And when you heard baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was always about speaking in tongues. You didn't hear much about the Holy Spirit being the third person of the triune nature of God. You didn't understand that the Holy Spirit was God. You just almost associated him with tongues, and that was it. And so many people were talking about that, and I think there's some error to that I really didn't appreciate as my understanding grew. Now, one of the things we could look at is that during that time, we had two really major catastrophic events within the church realm. Number one, the fall of Jim Baker back in the 80s, and the PTL. I didn't even know who that guy was, and so it really didn't affect me. And it didn't seem to affect the witness that we had going on. But then when Jimmy Swaggart fell, that became a direct effect on what we were doing. I mean, we were seeing many, many people come to Jesus. Then he fell again, And it's almost like the whole, everything in our arena shut down. It was like the whole, of course, we're from the Baton Rouge area, and it was a huge effect. And pretty much everybody considered anybody who was of a Pentecostal type persuasion as a charlatan, as a, and I mean, they just almost associated you in a negative way with Jimmy Swaggart. And so, to me, you took a shift at that time in the dynamics of what was going on in charismatic movement. And the Word of Faith movement was coming up, prosperity teaching, name it and claim it, all this type of stuff was happening. And so, again, we were moving further and further away from the true holiness of God, things that wouldn't even appeal to me, things that were just so far into me, my thinking, and what I read from the Bible, I didn't want anything to do with it. And then we started seeing the Bible begin to take a back seat to church growth and these kind of things. And then a new movement, the seeker-sensitive movement, started happening. And then finally, the emergent church. And the thing I don't like about calling it the emergent church is they use the word church, the emergent whatever that thing is, where, yeah, they're appealing, but it's just like basically we figured out a way to have the world in our church and call it Christianity. And be honest with you, it's a very grievous thing and a very sore subject to me. I just think it's a terrible issue. So with all that said, I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I've seen lots of abuses, misuses. I've seen terrible things. I've seen people, I was almost choked to death by a guy who could speak in tongues. This happened, a real story. And so I'm not going into detail on that. But I just want you to know something. There's been a lot of abuses about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And much of it has to do with ignorance. But I'll tell you another thing. There's been a lot of abuses about just salvation and forgiveness of sin. I'm not going to quit preaching and teaching on that, because somebody else is doing it in error. I want to go and visit this subject in a biblical way tonight. And if we will turn to Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, just keep in mind, Jesus had been crucified. He died, and on the third day he rose again. He visited with his disciples for 40 days on the earth, and he told them to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. He said, after that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall receive power, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so he told them to wait, tarry, wait. And I don't think it was just, sitting around just twiddling your thumbs waiting, loitering on a street corner or whatever. No, they were in active, the waiting on the Lord, almost like a servant, like a restaurant server waiting on a table. They were waiting on the Lord through ministry and ministering to him in prayer and fasting. And they were seeking the Lord, send the Spirit to us, Lord. And so they were waiting for the promise in an active way, waiting for the promise. And we'll pick it up in verse 1. Now remember, they had seen their friend Jesus Christ. They had seen him. They had watched and were indelibly marked with the crucifixion of Christ. They had seen him die. They had grieved while he was in the tomb, and then they were rejoicing as he rose from the dead, and now they were waiting. He said, you wait here, and boy, they were in an active wait. So here, watch carefully. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, or was fully come, the day of Pentecost is a Jewish feast day, and I want to point that out before we read too much further. During the major feast, you know, there's, I think, four different feasts that all the Jewish males were commanded to appear in Jerusalem. So, I mean, this is a big thing. Annually, you would leave your place and do whatever it took to get to Jerusalem, which was the epicenter. It's where the temple of God was. And so they had this big feast day, and it means 50th. And it was the 50th day following the Passover. And so that was the word 50th. And they went into a huge celebration, and it had everything to do with harvest and this kind of thing. So the day of Pentecost. So it literally, there were just crowds and crowds of people in Jerusalem. So and there's a major point to that. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is the kingdom come. This is the church age is birth. Really, it's the kingdom age where Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. And so there's a real seal or a real association, almost a synonym, if you would, that the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit's coming into an individual is as a synonym that when we pray thy kingdom come, literally the Spirit of God is the seal on the dominion of the king. Once a life is submitted to the lordship or the kingship of Jesus, then the Holy Spirit will seal that heart and that dominion with his presence in the life of an obedient vessel. And so we have this kingdom come. And so they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there's this sound from heaven and it filled the house. Now, literally this sound from heaven affected everything around them. Everybody from the whole festival and feast day heard this thing and they come running to where it was. But I want to, before we get to that, I want you to see it. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Psalm 104 verse 4 says, he makes his ministers a flame of fire. And I believe this has very much of a direct correlation and association that God would, would set his ministers on fire. There would be a burning heart in the souls of those who would share and witness for Jesus. I mean, this is a powerful thing. John Wesley used to say, they said, how do you draw all those crowds? He said, I set myself on fire and the people come watch me burn. And so it's really that when we are burning with the things of God, Jeremiah said, he's like fire in my bones. I cannot refrain from speaking. And so the fire of God and the Spirit of God, the Spirit-filled life is one of a fire that we are on fire for Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing. And it's all in association that we were empowered to be witnesses and with an enthusiastic zeal, a loving zeal, a fruitful zeal, a holy zeal, one that would just literally be attractive to those who really are even lost in dead religion, who said, I've tried religion and it's dead, but boy, all of a sudden we see someone with the life of God in them and it's appealing. You say, I want what you have. And I think we should see that return to the people of God in this hour, that many people knew that walked in darkness or sat in the darkness and needed to be filled with this life and light and see the mighty Holy Spirit filling so many right now. We need this gift. We need this gift right now, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, it says that rushing wind, it filled the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them split or divided tongues of fire resting on every head, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, this is synonymous. And he said, and they begin, listen to me carefully, this is this passage. And they, the people, began to speak with other tongue or with tongues as the Spirit, Holy Spirit, gave them utterance. Now, I want you to see something very careful and clear here, that the Holy Spirit gives us utterance. We speak with tongues. That is a distinction that has to be made. People sit around and say, well, if God wants me to have that gift, I'm going to get it. Well, maybe not. I believe God wants us to have that gift, but it's no different. If we took that same approach with salvation or any other of the promises of God, we do not take that same approach. And so let's be consistent. If God wants us to have a gift, he told us about his promises. Why would he want us to have them? These promises are for us today, and we'll address that a little later in some of the errors that go with this. But for right now, I want you to see the initiation, the day the church was born. The day the kingdom came at the Feast of Pentecost, there that rushing mighty wind filled the house where they were sitting, cloven tongues like a fire, and he set his ministers on fire, and they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And then all these people from all the regions round about ran together, and they thought the people were drunk. And I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but it says they heard them speak in their own language. The real miracle here was not the tongues, but the hearing. And I believe it's very significant. The Holy Spirit, and especially the initial evidence of speaking in tongues, has everything to do with us reaching the nations for Jesus Christ. And literally, that we're speaking in another language. With stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. This is the rest. This is a refreshing. We covered that fully in the idea of the promise of the Father. The Father said through the prophet Isaiah, this is the rest. What rest? stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, but for all that they would not hear me. This is the rest. This is the refreshing, folks. The Holy Spirit gives us a refreshing, a rest and a refreshing where we cease from our own labors, and the Spirit of grace is speaking through us. It's a powerful, powerful thing, and we're going to get to all the benefits of that as we go, but I want you to hear that. Years ago, I was in a prayer meeting with some folks who did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I told this on Facebook Live just a while back, but I'm going to say it again. We were all sitting together, me and another brother sitting right next to each other, and we were turned around facing a brother and his wife, and we were all praying. I mean, we were having a really nice prayer meeting. The Spirit of the Lord was there. We felt a real anointing on him, and one of the older gentlemen said, "Lord, it'd be so awesome if one of us began to speak with tongues." And to me, it was like, wow, the green light came on. I'm refraining because I knew that they didn't believe in such a thing. I just began to pray in tongues, man. I don't know how long that prayer meeting lasted. We were there a while, and I've never heard anybody on Facebook say, "Brother, you need to speak up. We can't hear you." I am easily heard. Okay, they're laughing at me out there. So, but the fact is, I can be heard. All right, and we were right there together. I prayed in tongues with all my might for quite a time. I don't know if it was an hour or what. And we were on our way home, being the brother left. And he said, "Man, wouldn't it have been awesome if when the brother said, 'Lord, one of us could start speaking in tongues.'" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "That'd have been just the neatest thing if somebody would have started." I said, "I did start speaking in tongues. I said, I prayed in tongues the entire time. From the time he said that till the time we quit praying, I never quit praying in tongues." He said, "No, you didn't." "I did too. I know what I did." We turned around, went back to that brother's house, and we were talking, and not one of them heard me pray in tongues. They only heard me speaking the praise of God and glorifying God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. True story, happened to me. I don't know, man, just start speaking in tongues. I mean, the miracle's really in the hearing. That's where the miracle's at. So on the day of Pentecost, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I believe the Holy Spirit has come to multitudes of people, and literally utterance came and they were afraid to speak. And we're going to address some of those fears a little later on in this teaching. But for now, let's move on to the next one. In Acts chapter 10, as the Spirit of God began to move, I want to show you some visitations where the Holy Spirit moved on folks and they began to speak in other tongues. Now, this is when the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit, one of the most important events ever where the non-Jews received the Holy Ghost. I mean, this is a major thing. They received Christ. They received the Holy Spirit. A powerful man, an Italian guy named Cornelius, who was a man who feared God and gave much alms. He prayed, and he was a praying man, and he was a non-Jew. He believed in God. He feared God. That's what the Bible says. And so a visitation happened to him, and they were supposed to send for Peter, who was in a town just over, and he was staying at Simon the Tanner's house, and Peter was up on the roof in a trench. He'd been fasting, and the Holy Spirit just all of a sudden took him in this vision, and he saw a sheet coming down from heaven full of every unclean beast. And so I'm sure he had hogs and every kind of, man, a Cajun buffet came down in that sheet. Thank God for Acts 10. I'm going to just tell you, I love me some bacon. And we love shrimp and catfish. Oh, I'm almost to tongues now. We eat all that unclean stuff the Bible called unclean. And the sheet came down, opened up, and there's all these beasts that the Bible called unclean. And the voice from heaven said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." "And not so, Lord, for nothing unclean has ever passed these lips." And this happened three times. The sheet would come down. So it was really verified to Peter, and the voice from heaven would say, "What I have cleansed, do not call it common." So the blood of Jesus will even clean some pork. Hallelujah. Somebody shout out there. So when it was all said and done, there comes a knock at the door. Cornelius had sent people to Simon the tanner's house, and he said, "Hey, are you Peter?" "Yeah." He said, we had an angel of the Lord appeared to us and wants to come." And Peter said, "Well, I can't deny. He's not supposed to go to a Gentile house. Look, man, all these miracles from heaven are happening, and it took days to arrange to get Peter to Cornelius' house." Now, I went through all that just to tell you this. When God finally got him there, the man spoke for less than a minute. Suddenly, there came a sound. Can I read Peter's message? After all that, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" In other words, Gentiles here, I believe God wants to talk to you. "But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be judge of the living or quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, to whoever believes in him shall receive remission of sin." While Peter yet spoke these words. That was his whole message. Now, did it take me a minute to read that? I don't think it did. "While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision," the Jews, "which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Then Peter answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, what a wonderful story. The Gentiles, the non-Jews, received the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, if you're trying to put a formula or an order on how God does things, stop right there. Let me tell you, God can do whatever he wants to do. And I want to tell you, he visited this family, this non-Jewish family who did fear God, but they didn't understand the things of salvation. And he visited them while, I mean, you think about how ignorant I was. I grew up Roman Catholic. I knew nothing of this thing of tongues. I didn't even know the Bible. I didn't even know that the words in the Bible were in. I just didn't. And I'm going to tell you right now, boy, when I heard people tell, I said, "What is this tongue?" It was so foreign to my thing. Tongues, huh? Tongues, what is that? Can you imagine these Gentiles who didn't even go to synagogue? I mean, all of a sudden, here they are. They hear a sermon, an anointed sermon, and the Spirit of God just comes down on them and they begin to speak. Could you imagine what that scene looked like? Now, what I want you to notice is that while Peter spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentile also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here's how they knew: for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And I want you to see that. So there's this gift of tongues being associated with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It's a very important issue. Now, I'm not just going to go all the way to seed and say everybody has to speak in tongues, but I'm going to tell you right now, I believe that everybody can. I really do. I believe that everybody can speak in tongues. If Jesus is your Lord and your heart is in submission to God, I believe the Holy Ghost will come in you and you can have this wonderful gift of tongues. I believe you need it. As a matter of fact, let me show you how much the Apostle Paul believed. Acts chapter 19. As he was in Ephesus, Paul didn't leave this to chance or to each person's thinking. It says in verse 1, And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Now, I want you to stop right where you are, and I want to ask you, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, I know how I used to answer that before I got the Holy Ghost. Well, yeah, I received the Holy Ghost when I was born again, and that's true. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit was dealing with me before I even got saved. I had been drawn by the Spirit of God. I can trace back and see the Holy Spirit's activity in my life all the way from the very time He was drawing me while I was still in my sin, all the way through the point where I actually got this gift of tongues. And so I'm not saying the Holy Spirit's not dealing with somebody. The Holy Spirit deals with many folks. I'm going to say another thing. There are many people who I believe have had divine encounters with God who are not born again yet. You've come to church because you had a divine encounter. You go to church and there's no more divine encounters. And you sit there. It's kind of like when you go fishing. You catch a fish and you throw him in the ice chest. He flops around with some little bit of life for a little while. And after a while, he's just laying flat out on his side until his gills turn white. And he's just, you know, all the life is gone from him. It's, to me, this is like, oh, that's what the churches should be. The church of the igloo, where you just flop around till you're dead. Sit there in that pew and behave until there's no more life left in you. And just sit there and listen to a million sermons until you die. And that was the end of Christianity. Folks, that's not what God intended. It's not even kind of what God intends. I mean, God wants to fill you with Himself until you're so full of the Holy Ghost that all you want to do is talk about Jesus. You will literally be possessed of Him. And that's what this means. When the Holy Spirit fell on them, it literally means to possess them, to take control of them. That's an amazing thought. And that the Holy Spirit, you know, I want to be possessed by God. Is there something wrong with that? Because a lot of you are doing everything it takes to be possessed of the devil. Huh? You're running around doing all kind of stupidity, taking drugs, drinking whiskey, drinking alcohol. Everything got to be, you have a beer, got to drink. You're altering your mind. You're on pharmaceuticals or illegal drugs. You're altering your mind. Your behavior, you lie, you cheat, you steal, you fornicate, whatever it might be. Well, guess what? You're opening yourself wide open to be possessed of the devil. Well, that don't happen anymore. Yeah, you go ahead and think that. Why you think you can't control your own faculties? Why you think you need to do all those sins? Because you're a slave to that sin. Let me tell you, that's possessed by the devil. That's possessed by unrighteousness. I believe God wants to possess His vessels. And literally, He would fill us so full that it's like, I am full of Jesus. I'm full of the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Somebody needs to get possessed by God tonight. Old Smith Wigglesworth used to say, let me say that again. Smith Wigglesworth. Say that real fast while you're preaching. He used to say, I remember the day I got the Holy Ghost, but then I remember the day the Holy Ghost got me. And I can understand that totally. All right, let's keep reading. Watch what he says. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, some of you say, well, I'm saved. So I got the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you, you need to seek this out. Hear it carefully. Listen to what the Bible's saying. Look. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He didn't argue with them, did they believe? He said, y'all are believers. They said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And this has been downplayed in so many traditional churches. Maybe I'm telling you for the first time, there is a Holy Ghost. And yes, if you're saved, He wants to live inside of you. It's God wants to live in you. Keep with it. And they said to him, what? And he said to them, unto what then were you baptized? He asked the particulars of their baptism, and they said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him which should come after him, that is on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. There were 12 people. They weren't 12 years old. There was about 12 people. Now listen carefully. Paul addressed a group of believers who were devout men who believed in what John had preached. They believed. They believed in repentance. But they didn't understand the fullness of the gospel yet. And I believe there's so many out there today. All you think is that, okay, pray this prayer. Bow your head. Oh, Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my life and save me. And that's all you know. That's all you know. This is the water baptism, if they give you that. Or this is your sprinkling. And there's so many formulas. And look, folks, I ain't talking about a formula. I don't even care about your formula. I don't even care if you get water baptized. What I do care is if you get baptized into the cross of Jesus Christ and you die with him and you die, your old life dies with him and you raise up a new creature and the Holy Ghost fills you up. I care about that. Formulas and water and come on, man. You don't get saved by taking a bath. Hear me carefully, folks. Paul pressed the issue. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Folks, I believe in experiential Christianity. As a matter of fact, by the second century in the New Testament church, by century number two, there was a man called Montan, and he began to say, where have the miracles gone from the first century church? Where are they gone? Why are we not seeing the miracles? They had already left off of experiential Christianity. They weren't seeing the manifestations of power that just a few short years ago, the apostles were with him doing these great works. And Montan began to pursue this issue, and they had a reviving. And I want to tell you, the gifts of the Spirit began to flow freely again. And look, one of the people who comments on that, or literally who participated, was a man called Tertullian, who was one of the great church historians. Go look it up. He moved into this, and he too was moved on with the gifts of the Spirit, and it radicalized his life in a very living, powerful way. Folks, we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled. If we ever needed anything, we need to be filled with the presence of God. You hear me? We need to be filled with the presence of God. And when we are, there's no way you're filled with God and it doesn't affect you internally, externally, and those around you. If you're full of God, you're going to affect every environment you ever walk into in the way that God would have you do it. Amen. So this is a very powerful issue. So we have these three times where God literally visited in a powerful way, and literally they attributed the presence of the Holy Ghost to the gift of speaking in tongues. Now, I'm not trying to reduce the Holy Spirit to speaking in tongues. I believe the initial thing that we receive in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that utterance that comes, that out of your belly would go rivers of living water, that inner man being so moved with the life of God inside of you that you begin to, you have utterance and it comes out in an unintelligible tongue, an unlearned language. It's a wonderful thing. I do it all the time. It's a beautiful experience. And we're going to get into that deeply when we go into the power of the Spirit. I'm going to explain some of these things carefully. We'll touch on it tonight, but for right now, let's just leave it at that. I want to get into a few issues, starting verse 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of doctrinally why so many are afraid of this gift. One of the most beautiful chapters in the Bible, many of you know it, non-Christians know it, is the 1 Corinthians 13. It's the chapter of love. But there's one part in verse 8. It says charity, which is agape love. Charity never fails. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. And where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, there are many today called cessationists. That's a fancy little word for people who do not believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. There are multitudes out there. It's the overwhelming majority of those who claim to be Christian are cessationists. There's just so many of them, it's unbelievable. And so when you start looking at this idea of the gifts of the Spirit are not for today, or for only for a certain few, the super saints, if you would, hear me carefully. There is a group of what we call cessationists, and they use this passage right here, and they said, charity or love never fails, but where there be prophecies, they shall fail. So they deduce from this verse, They say, so prophecies are no longer for today. And their rationale is because the Bible is a completed book, there's no more need for prophecy. There's absolutely no scriptural evidence that supports that. It's a foolish thinking. Why would God literally begin the church age in Acts chapter 10? Why would that begin? Why would the Holy Spirit come, give us the gifts of tongue and many more gifts? Why would the Holy Spirit come and we enter into the kingdom age? And for the last 2,000 years, we have lived in the kingdom age. Why would the Holy Spirit come? And then he said, but the gifts aren't for this age. What kind of reasoning? Now watch carefully. Then they say, whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. See, tongues are not for today. It's tongues will cease. And their deduction is that now tongues are not for today because tongues shall cease. And they just assumed when the last living apostle, the 12 apostles of the Lamb were the only ones who operate in this gift, which is an absolute complete lie. Okay, keep going. And it says, where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Question I have, let's be consistent with theology. Why hadn't knowledge vanished? If you're going to use this template and just say, see, prophecy's gone, tongue cease, knowledge, maybe knowledge did vanish away for cessationists, because that's really ignorant. It's bad theology. And for folks who pride themselves in exegetical teaching, this is a real bumbler here, folks. Okay, well, you then take your knowledge away and you just sit there, and when you come to a pulpit, just stand there and let them look at you. For whatever reason drove you to the pulpit, probably the Holy Ghost, but never mind. We'll get on that another. Why is the gift of pastor the only thing left? Why could we just surmise that only pastoring is left? Evangelism and pastors are teachers. That's it. No more apostles, no more prophets. All the power gifts, they just said, no. We don't. Those aren't for today. They ceased with the last apostle. When the Bible became canonized, we have no more need for revelation. Okay. Wow. And then the same people say, well, I got called. How did you get called? Oh, never mind. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll back up a chapter. I don't want to shoot another issue in the foot because it segues from where we just were. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, he says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, third teachers, and after that miracles, then governments, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Obvious answer, no. Are all prophets? Obvious answer is no. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Why would he tell us to covet earnestly the best gifts? And I love it when somebody, I believe every word that's in the book except that one. Maybe you don't believe the Bible. Maybe you should examine your own faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. If I didn't think this book was for today, I'd quit reading it right this second. I wouldn't say another word. If I didn't think these promises were for the here and now, I would just feel really cheated by God and say, oh, man, forget this frustrating thing. I don't want any part of it. Folks, listen to what he said. He said, apostles first. Are they the first and foremost thing? No, they're first in order of function. Then secondly is prophets. Then thirdly are teachers, the pastor teacher gift. Now watch. Look what he said. He said, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, somebody say it, miracles. You wonder where the miracles ceased? When we took out the order of function from the church. And all we were left with was pastors and teachers. Why would we have a miracle? When we shut the pastor, the apostle and the prophet out, and all we do is hear the pastor teach you endless transfers of cognitive transfer of knowledge. Endless. Come back. You must hear more sermons. Come back and hear some sermon. You sit there and listen to this sermon. Hear my sermon. And the Bible says explicitly not to be hearers of the word, but doers. When does it ever get into us and we do something? other than a pre-prescribed program that literally keeps you, hear my sermon, hear my sermon, hear my sermon. Folks, hear me carefully. The kingdom of God is way bigger than the box you're sitting in. Some of you need to be delivered from the religious tradition you're sitting in and receive this mighty gift of the Holy Ghost. Some of you are set in that dead church, that dead religion with not one evidence that God is working in your life. And you just say, yeah, in a future day, Jesus is going to raise me from the dead. Or worse than that, he's going to come back and poof, we out of here. Come on, what terrible, horrible, wrong theology you're living in. And I think many are going to say, Lord, Lord, didn't we? You can't even say because we prophesy. You can't even say any of that. You don't even believe that happens. What does happen? We don't even believe in an experiential Christianity. We don't even believe there's evidence when you get saved. You just said a prayer. We don't believe in a manifestation of anything other than knowledge, which is, should have vanished away if we're going to keep to that track that the cessationists use. The order of function has to be restored to see it all working. The body of Christ is so out of whack, the New Testament builders are just building willy-nilly any way they want to. They lay the carpet down before they put the cement on the floor. Stay with it. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Well, let me back up. Before I move on, I make a note here. Look in here. Are all apostles? No, absolutely not. Are all prophets? No, absolutely not. Teachers? No. Workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Nope. Do all interpret? Now, I'm so glad he put them both in there. You see, the gift of tongues, when we bring a message in tongues, and not everybody does that, right? When a message is brought in tongues to a church gathering, and someone takes the floor and literally lets out this prophetic word in tongues where you know the anointing of God's on it, then it must be interpreted. If you're going to take over the meeting with a loud tongues that's a directive, a preaching, or a teaching gift, or a gift that's literally wanting to bring a message in tongues to the whole body, you hear me carefully, then it must be interpreted. Not translated, interpreted. And someone with the gift of interpretation will stand up and interpret that prophecy. It's a beautiful thing to watch. It's wonderful. It literally excites everyone in the room. It builds faith. It's like God has visited us in a supernatural way. And yeah, Paul said it himself. I would rather prophesy than speak in tongues. I'd rather say 5 words in my own language than 10,000 words in another tongue. But folks, once the translation or the interpretation comes, it's a powerful thing to be prophesied with a message in tongues. Very powerful. Now, folks, if we don't start shooting down these, you know, one of the things I would hear before I got to receive the baptism of the Spirit and then begin to literally be discipled by those who had walked in Pentecost for a lot longer than I did. It was amazing when, especially those old Baptist guys who were Baptist pastors, who got the Holy Ghost and then began to revisit the scriptures about that. Man, they came up with some beautiful doctrine that I think is so powerful. And it literally wiped away all my reservations about these wonderful gifts. And for instance, one of them, let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. Back up. Let's go to chapter 12. Let's do that. I'm sorry. I meant to go there before. Here we are. Look in verse 7. But the manifestation is given to every man to profit with all. Should we just take that verse out of the Bible? The manifestation of the Holy Spirit given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these works that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that body one, being many or one, body, so also is Christ. We're going to get to that wonderful baptism in another time, but I want you to see this. As Paul lays out the gifts of the Holy Spirit right here in 1 Corinthians 12, it's done in such matter of fact, in such a matter of fact way, that these gifts are given to every man to profit withal. They are for the profit of the body of Christ. And to demean these or to exclude them from the workings of the church, have you just said the body of Christ is dead? It's still in the tomb, or it died again after the resurrection? Are you saying the body of Christ is lifeless? Folks, we are the body of Christ. We must be filled with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has to quicken our mortal bodies and raise us up above the law of sin and death. We have to walk in the higher law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. This spirit of life, and many of you need this right now, need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Quit resisting this spirit of God. He wants to fill your temple if you're saved. Man, if you're a hungry heart and say, I want more of God, maybe this is your answer. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14. And I want to expel another fallacy. And what's amazing, most of these doctrines that are error, really, come from people who literally, they start from the premise the gifts are not from today. They just assume, okay, we've been told that, so it's not for today. It's called dispensationalism and it's called cessationism. Now, they say, it's not for today. That was in another dispensation of time. Okay, all right. Well, folks, hear me carefully. We're in the dispensation of the Holy Ghost. There's one dispensation that we have to do with right now. For 2,000 years, we have been in the age of the kingdom come, the Holy Ghost. Why would the Holy Spirit not manifest to those who have submitted their lives to Jesus Christ? Why would it stop? I want you to hear this, in particular tongues. And let's make a distinction. I want to make a distinction right now. What he says, do all speak in tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. So that is specifically for the message of tongues. See, tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy. It's a net same thing. Some might just stand up and prophesy, but some may speak in tongues, then interpret, and that equals prophecy. Okay? It's the same as somebody would just stood up and prophesied. I believe it's done to help unbelief. I believe it's done for those skeptics or scoffers who stumble into a meeting or might be ignorant of these things, and they hear a message in tongues and an interpretation. The Bible says when this kind of thing happens, that won't that person just fall down and say, God's in you of a truth? Worshiping Jesus? It'll turn a scoffer or a skeptic into a worshiper? Come on, boy. We need that. Watch this in chapter 14. Verse 1, follow after charity, which is agape, which is love, and desire spiritual gifts. Desire them. Wouldn't that be an empty life? We're desiring spiritual gifts. Well, we don't. That ain't. I believe everywhere in that Bible except that one. That one too. We can't believe that because that gift ceased. Why did it cease? Why would you not desire spiritual gifts? I don't understand that. Especially when you open your Bible and start reading, and spiritual gifts are on every page. Well, those aren't for today. Really? What is for today? Sit there and listen to me preach. Man, I just soon listen to the morning farm report. Pork bellies are 38 cents a pound this morning. But good news is soybeans have gone for $12 a bushel. Lord God, help us. We need the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue, here it is. I want you to hear it. Speaks not to men, but to God. What did that just say? Who am I talking to if I speak in an unknown tongue? I ain't talking to you. That is prayer. I'm talking to God. Well, I heard some charismatic crazy. I heard him speak in tongues. Nobody interpreted. Well, shut up. I ain't talking to you, eavesdropper. Ignorant eavesdropper at that. You don't know what you're talking about. Doesn't need translation. Well, I heard 10, 12 people praying in tongues at the same time. Praise the Lord! They're all praying to God, not you. Why don't you get full of the Holy Ghost and join us? A concert of prayers in tongues is an awesome thing to behold. It's wonderful to be in a meeting when all of a sudden the gift of tongues is flowing through everything and nobody can mess it up with human reason. Oh, hallelujah. Watch, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God, howbeit, for no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Oh, Dick Simmons used to tell me, he said, these are the smart bombs of God. This is the greatest method of prayer that there is. Listen to me carefully. When you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, my Bible says in Romans chapter 8, the Spirit Himself helps my infirmities. I don't know how to pray or what to pray for, but the Spirit helps my infirmities, and He prays through me with groanings that cannot be uttered. Said, well, it can't be uttered, so you don't say nothing. Man, come on, boy. It's the Holy Ghost inside. He gave me utterance, and it's not intelligent. Man, I don't. You say, well, we need something intelligent. Hey, I've got enough of your intelligence. I've got enough exegetical preaching and teaching. You know, we just saying the same old monotone, lifeless, dead thing and transferring the cognitive transfer of knowledge. Man, we need the Holy Ghost. We need the life of God. Somebody needs to get quickened and live with resurrection life on the inside of them. Some minister needs to be made a flame of fire. Oh, help me, Lord. If all we can do is talk people into this through transfer or intellectual communication, folks, come on. I believe that we should have some... We are a reasoning being, and we should reason, and let us reason to God. I get that. I understand that part of our God-given brain and emotion are to sort out what information is. We get that information, we can sort it out, and we can make decision. But folks, hear me. At some point, we need the Holy Ghost to move inside of us. Oh, and we get so full of the life of God. Heaven begins to communicate through us. Some of you pastors, you frustrated folks, I'm telling you, you need the anointing. You need to cooperate with that anointing. I believe many of you have that anointing and just don't cooperate with the utterance that God wants to give you. Some of you don't know how to pray. Your prayer life's so dry, you don't even want to pray. Some of you need to just get aside, put everything aside, and just let that utterance begin to flow out of you and pray in the Holy Ghost. Some of you need to do this right now. Hallelujah. Watch. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men. I ain't talking to you, fella. I'm talking to God. But unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Now, I believe in prophesy. I prophesy. I prophesy to our folks. And boy, we have prophetic meetings that are just wonderful. They're awesome. And everybody's built up by them. And hear me carefully now. But you say, well, tongues just edifies yourself. Well, don't we need self-edification? I mean, I'd put it on the same par where it says, love thy neighbor as thyself. What if you're just a defeated soul? What if you're so beat down and defeated? Maybe you got no joy. Maybe you got no life. Maybe you just absolutely have been beat down through warfare all your Christian walk. How do you love your neighbor? Oh, I came to share the love of God with you. Go home. Wah, wah. Go home. You're just depressing me. I'm already depressed. I don't need that. Where's the life? Where's the life? Where's the life? Folks, my Bible says in the book of Jude, verses 20 through 22, he says that we need to build ourselves up in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Holy Ghost, build up our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Build up your faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will bring faith. It will literally cause faith to come alive. Man, when I get into a session of praying in the Holy Ghost, and after a while, I'm just like, man, I've just been to another world. My mind is disengaged. My heart is praying. I know I'm in communion with God, and the peace that follows that. You think, well, you might get a demon. Well, do you think demons do that? I tell you what, you might get a demon from drinking that beer and whiskey you're drinking. You might get a demon. That walking naked on the beach might give you a demon. The real demonization comes from sinning, folks. When you're praying to God and the Spirit begins to take over your communication to God, and I think God can interpret a tear, much less a tongue. He can interpret the heartfelt moaning and groaning. Oh, Hannah, back in the old covenant, who ended up being Samuel's mama. Oh, Eli saw her over there praying, her lips were moving, but there wasn't no words coming out. She's just praying away. And she said, lady, you're drunk. She said, I am not drunk. My heart's heavy. I'm praying. Oh, well, then you're going to have a baby. We're going to call him Samuel. He's going to be awesome. That's what happened. Folks, hear me carefully. We need to just get out of the human logic. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. Knowledge puffs up. We can get so smart that we're just relying on trying to, and to, you understand trying to out-talk somebody? Let me tell you what I've learned. Once somebody believes a lie, you almost cannot talk them out of it. It takes a miraculous gift to make them see. I'm looking around in this room, and I'm thinking some testimony. I'm looking over at Sam over there. Huh? Didn't you have to go to the ER when you started hearing this preaching? The emergency room. She was so shook because she'd been in that dead religion. And they claimed to be alive. Oh, man, they had emotionalism going on. It was a hype-filled place. And then they heard the word of God. What? Take me to doctor. Doctor, help me. Something wrong. They had a guy who used to come to our church. Literally, he'd get every time I said, come on, y'all bow your heads. Let's go. I'll talk to you about invitation for Jesus. Back when we were in the tradition. He'd get up every Sunday, get up, and he'd go to the bathroom. Later on, he told us, he said, I wasn't going to the bathroom to go to the bathroom. I went in there to weep because I thought I was saved all my life and found out I wasn't. I like them kind of stories where you walk right into the Word of God and it just shocks you out of your religion into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody needs to get this Spirit of God. Praying in the Holy Ghost as the Spirit gives utterance. I'm praying to God, not men. I'm going to leave it right there tonight, folks. We need the Holy Ghost. You got enough biblical evidence. He said desire spiritual gifts. He said covet earnestly. Think about those two kind of words. Covet, I mean, almost a sinful way. I mean, covet the gifts. I mean, desire them so bad. I want heaven to manifest in my life. I mean, last week, one of the things that I was teaching right here, sitting in this chair last week, and we were in John 14 talking about the manifestation, or we were talking about the person of the Spirit, but Judas, the brother of James, said, Lord, how will you manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Boy, that I was teaching, and boy, that got all over me while I was teaching. I was like, man, I got to go revisit this. And he said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we, me and the Father, will come and make our abode inside of him. Come on. That stirred me up so much. I've been talking about every house church I go to. This stirred me up so much. Folks, we need to understand the manifestation of the life of God inside of you that affirms you, that confirms you, that puts some life inside of you. It's impossible that God move into you and it not affect your life, your character, who you are, what you do, how you live. It has to affect you. God in you. God with us. Come on, go seek the Holy Ghost. Desire Him awesome. I mean, literally, just look, repent of the error and the false doctrine. God will forgive you. Repent of that and say, Lord, I want the Holy Ghost. See you next week. God bless.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's Word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.